Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Astros lost. AL waste. Well, that's how it feels right now. The AL West, more like AL waste, because the Astros are wasted.
Are you a newspaper headline writer?
May as well be at this point.
Yeah, she should pass that along to the Chronicle for 3 weeks from now.
Right? Hey, at least if I was working for the Chronicle, I wouldn't have to talk about the Astros for 2 hours. That was a disgrace last night. All the errors. Let's just list them. Bases loaded in the first with one out. Nothing. Abreu, Diaz, down. Altuve, throwing error in the third. That gave Seattle its first run. Fielding error by Bregman in the fourth. Javier, unspectacular. 4 2/3 innings pitched. Doesn't even get you through five. Rafael Montero comes in with two outs in the fifth inning. Four, Christian Javier. Three hits, 3 runs scored. John Singleton, pinch hit for the Astros, who had the bases loaded in the seventh with no outs. He got a sac fly at least. No runs after that. Chaz McCormick got hit by a pitch and looked hurt. 2 for 13 with runners in scoring position. 10 players left on base. So, magic number for the Rangers is 3. Could be 2, but they actually lost to the Angels last night. AL West chances for the Astros to win it look dead, and now they're just a half game up on Seattle in the wild card race. And worst case scenario, the Rangers could have this thing locked up very early in their 4-game series to wrap up the year against the Mariners in Seattle. Theoretically, the Rangers could have nothing to play for very, very shortly. So we'll see where that goes. And today I've just been asking, like, well, what else do you want to talk about? We were talking about how Colin Kaepernick wrote a letter to the New York Jets asking to be on their practice squad that was released by a rapper, a texter. Why is Kaepernick acting like Rudy? Rudy. That's a good point. Another texter says, yes, please, all the Kaepernick talk. SquidChef 007 says Kaepernick is trash. Astros playing like trash. But they've both been winners. That's the only similarities. I don't even know if that's accurate for Colin Kaepernick. CV 1020 says, I'd rather talk about Bill O'Brien in New England than Kaepernick. Would you rather talk about Bill O'Brien in New England than the Houston Astros? I feel like that's in between, probably.
Man, the Bill O'Brien days were, you know, that was when the city was alive.
It was angry.
Bill O'Brien. No, Bill O'Brien had the Texans cooking for like a couple years there. I mean, they made the playoffs a lot. You know, the Astros were starting their run. The Rockets are still good. Like, man.
I guess
2018, 2017, what a time in Houston sports.
People were so angry.
All the time.
All the time. People thought the Astros were having a collapse towards the end of 2017 as well. I remember going into the playoffs after the Verlander trade. Things weren't super good. They weren't playing very well down the stretch. And then, you know, the playoffs start.
Are you saying keep the faith?
I'm hinting keep the faith, but I'm not saying to keep the faith. I don't have a lot of faith this morning.
Because you had to stay on that fence.
I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold, and I am shamed, lying naked on the floor. Thank you, Natalie. And Bruglia. Some more comments here. Alternative subjects to talking about the mark-ass Houston Astros. Teen Beat is reporting Taylor Swift is causing division, says HRW on Twitch. In the Chiefs organization, posing a threat to their championship dynasty. That seems sarcastic, but that would be very funny if Teen Beat had a sports reporter that was saying, man, there's a lot of division about whether or not Taylor Swift is truly the greatest artist of all time, which has led to a real schism in the Chiefs locker room as they try to maintain their dynasty.
Sky Moore is just like, man, she sucks. I do think, though, I do think that there probably is, I don't want to call it a schism. There's probably some ripple effects, some big ripple effects going on in the friends and family section, though, and the wives and girlfriends section of the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know, where they, the suite where they have all the wives and girlfriends of the other players. Because can you imagine going to a game and it's like, oh yeah, there's Taylor Swift. I'm Brittany Mahomes. I was the lead dog in this little press area,
or let's
in the,
be honest,
in the little you know, box, the suite that they have us
right.
at. And now some new chick's coming to take my spot. Some new chick called Taylor Swift.
Let's be honest. Brittany Mahomes has already told some over the top melodramatic story about a bad Taylor Swift experience she's had to at least one other Chiefs significant other. At least one. Or, it's probably been something like, well, we went to a concert and it was really pricey and the experience kind of sucked.
It is pricey.
It's very pricey. It is definitely not worth it. No concert is worth that amount of money. I'm sorry, it's just not. Unless you are on all sorts of PEDs, it is very unlikely to be worth $1,000 so you can sit in the midsection of probably an NFL stadium, because those are the only events big enough to hold Taylor Swift.
I think Brittany Mahomes, at least during the game on Sunday, made like a quick comment to someone else being like, you know, she's not as pretty in person, or like something, just to like, just to, you know, get it out, just to like start the, I don't know, mean girls of the Kansas City Chiefs wives and girlfriends, of just being like, you know, wasn't that impressed. Isn't as nice as, you know, she seems on TV. I will say that.
That's probably it.
Taylor Swift, kind of a bitch.
But
Patrick Mahomes on the car ride over is like, so how is being Taylor Swift? And and she's like, eh. And that's where it starts.
She made fun of Jackson. Can you believe the audacity on that bitch? She said that she doesn't like what she's reading about Jackson, and she doesn't even know all the facts.
Well, Brittany, there's video of Jackson, and he is my brother, but it's really hard to defend him.
Oh my God, did you really just say that about your own brother, Patrick? Are you really taking the side of Taylor Swift against your brother?
Well, I mean, he's kind of a douchebag.
I can't believe you. You're sleeping on the couch tonight. And scene. Damn, I'm good. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in? 713-780-3776. We're looking for alternative things to discuss that aren't the Houston Astros. Here's something from the Twitch. Galant says, how about an update on your failed dating life? Asks King of All Twitches. Fishing with Dana. The one that got away segment would be fun. I do have a funny story from Vegas. What do you think?
How quick is it?
It's quick.
Okay, yeah, let's get to it.
Okay, so we went to go see Bob Moses on Saturday. Really good time. Bob Moses is great if you haven't heard them. I'm not the most musically knowledgeable person in the world, as most people know, but I do very much enjoy Bob Moses. It's solid, chill vibes. So we were at the Marquee Day Club, which is essentially a pool party place. And we're there. We're having a good time. We were trying to get the attention of the other women that were there. And specifically, I was trying to get the attention of the other women that were there. And at one point, foolishly, I bought a round of shots for another table. And this other table gets the shots. Some other guy came out of nowhere and, per one of the bottle service girls, took credit for the shots that I brought over there. I'm not even kidding. I was like, oh, are you kidding me? More money wasted this weekend? So there you go. Update. And I may have made out with a bottle service girl. Whatever. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can also join on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Some people are asking for an update on my cat. Still alive. How about that? But man, it's just tough right now. We know the Astros are capable of more. And yet they keep underachieving. And it really does feel like things are on life support right now. Life support. So what are they supposed to do? We got Walter calling in with a thought at 713-780-3776. Walter, what's up? Walter. Walter?
Yes, this is Walter. I'd like to make a comment.
Hit me.
What I want to say is that
yes.
The Houston Astros, I think, is just about on their way out, and I think that what they need to do, they had all the chances in the world to try to take the lead, but I think it's all over for them. I don't think they're going to make it as a wild card, but I'd like to see them make it. So I just want your comment on it.
Well, Walter, I've literally been saying this all show long, so I totally agree with you and appreciate the phone call. 713-780-3776. Okay. Sean, I think we're gonna put the phone lines on hold today.
What?
I think we're gonna put the phone lines on hold today. These last two calls. It's been like, yeah. Like low energy agreements with my takes. It's like, yeah, man, the Astros aren't playing well. I hope they do better. And then another one was, yeah, I really don't like these Swifties. Cool, guys. Come on. Bring more to the table.
I mean, we did get the Dynamo one.
The Dynamo call is the best call of the day. He had all his facts in front of him. He actually taught us something, for Christ's sake. Oh, God.
Messi is questionable tonight. See if he goes.
What in the actual bleep is going on? No, well, not the Astros. Paul Gallant Show, you know what? We're looking for things to talk about to get our ratings. You know where we're going next. There's only one place we can go. Stick around to find out. First, I got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. For more than a century, the Pendleton Roundup has defined what it means to be a cowboy. Do you think we're going to be talking about cowboys in the next segment? Maybe. The Dallas Cowboys need a little more Pendleton whiskey in their life. They just lost to the Cardinals, bozos. Sean Mapes is very sad about that. But the Pendleton Roundup gave birth to something that's equally renowned, Pendleton Whiskey, which captures the unique cowboy spirit in every bottle and honors the enduring legacy of the American West. It's made with the finest northern grains, cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. It's smooth. It's refreshing. I love it. One rock in, two fingers. Very refreshing drink to have on a hot summer's day. It's still hot outside. Annoying. It's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition and the official whiskey of the PBR Tour.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
A texter asks of our last caller, Walter, was that Joe Biden? Another texter. Hi, I'm actually that guy that intercepted your drinks for those ladies. Next time you really need to step into it a little more. Yeah, Bryce Young could learn a thing or two about that, but there's plenty of time left in his career. Dak Prescott.
Plenty of time left in your career, too, though.
Not per my mother, but hey, it's okay. She has her grandkid. It's fine. You're just going to have a...
Takes the pressure down a little bit.
You're just going to have a single, ambiguously, who knows, son in your life for the longest time, and you're never going to meet any of his significant others. It's fine.
It's not fair to say you're alone. You have a cat.
I do have a cat.
So she kind of has a... you kind of gave her a granddaughter or grand... Yeah, granddaughter. Forgot if her cat was a boy.
I did, but she... My cat hisses at my mom whenever she's here. Every single time. My mom found her on Craigslist at an animal hoarder's house. Legitimately, I showed up there. Six dogs show up at the door. It smells like piss. Like just animal disgusting, like smells. And we get the cat entirely because of my mom finding her. And my cat hates my mom with a passion that I do not understand. Truly. My cat kind of hates everybody other than me, though. A little antisocial. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And yes, we're talking about my cat as opposed to talking about the Astros losing. Really, we might have to go full football time in Houston the remainder of this season. We are banking on the Houston Texans to make us happy on a daily basis. Think about that. I mean, that is essentially like me turning to alcohol to battle my depression. That is not likely to work out in the long run. Maybe in the short run, not in the long run.
Yes, we really need the 3-game sample size that we have from CJ Stroud to be like, nope, this is who he is. Yeah. What we saw against the Jags, who don't have a great pass defense, but
I know. The further I get away from this victory on Sunday, I'm like, the Jaguars, they're about to go play 2 games in London, and their president legitimately just said, yeah, you guys are never getting a team again, so you better pony up the tax dollars, bitch. Just like that. That was the tone. I've never seen somebody who is in a very major role with an organization that plays sports essentially double bird the entire fan base and say, yeah, you guys are small town. You guys are small time. We will leave you if you don't pay us, and no one will ever love you.
Yeah, basically, for those who don't know, yes, the Jags ownership is asking for over $1 billion in from the state or from the city of Jacksonville to build their new stadium. And in like some memo or whatever, or letter to the fans, whatever this guy tried to do here, he literally, and we talk about how teams hold cities hostages as like a metaphor. He, like you said, he basically sounded like he was taking a hostage. He was like, hey, listen, if you don't give us this $1 billion, the Jags will leave and you'll never get an NFL team again, Jacksonville. Ball's in your court. It's like, whoa, dude.
I'm going to read some of this right now because a poll was put together by North Florida, a school in Jacksonville.
You know what, Paul, before you get started, this is kind of South Side.
Want to do a little South Side segment?
Time to take a ride around the South Side of the AFC with Paul Gallant.
We rarely have a reason to do the segment, but...
Yes, because the teams are so boring.
Stumbled our way into one.
But we have some reasons right now, Sean. This Northern Florida poll found that only 6% of Jacksonville residents favor paying $1 billion. 47% don't care if the Jaguars move without the money. Jaguars CEO Mark Lamping. If there's a referendum, the ballot question should be, do you want to keep the NFL in Jacksonville? Because here's the thing. They are probably going to end up paying for the new stadium, even though the voters vote against it. Haven't we seen this exact same bleep with the Astrodome being voted for demolition, only for Ed Emmett to come in and slap it with a historical landmark tag? Brilliant move by him. And now we've just got the wart next to NRG Stadium, overrun by rats, cats, asbestos. The cats part's pretty cool. Here are more comments from Lamping. One thing we can't do, recognizing that Jacksonville is not going to become a top quartile economy in the NFL, is that we can't put the team, our fans, or even the community in a position where we come up with a stadium solution that doesn't put us on a path to being able to compete with the average NFL team. Look, If Jacksonville loses an NFL team, they're never going to get another one. And if the Jaguars have to relocate from Jacksonville, those of us that went down there would have failed, okay? And none of us want to face that. You're playing two games back-to-back in London this week and next week.
Two home games. Like, they both count as home games for the Jags.
They might be done. One of those games is the Bills. The first game is the Falcons. The Falcons are, I don't know. I don't think they're good.
They're frisky.
They have a very good running attack. Texans could run on them, so I don't know that the Falcons are going to be able to run on them. Desmond Ridder seems to suck, but the Bills are going to kill them.
I feel like the Falcons are like kind of like they're about as good as the Texans, where it's like they can beat you, but they also can just score like 9 points against you. Like that, either one just depends on like they don't have many. If you can't stop the run, they will beat you. If you can stop the run, like the Lions did last week, they will not score.
You're right. Not at all. No chance. By the way, I guess we got to find other AFC South topics, and this is where we realize the AFC South is really, 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 really boring. We had somebody yesterday on the Twitch comment that he was trying to buy a Houston Oilers CJ Stroud jersey online, like a custom Oilers jersey, 7 Stroud on the back. And it was blocked. The NFL wouldn't let him do it.
That's why. I mean, I get it, but it is why
that's censorship.
But you think that like they're like, yeah, money. Like from the NFL's point of view, or from, you know, even the Titans' point of view, they'd be like, yeah, if Texans fans want to buy our Oilers jerseys and we get the money for it,
it's money.
Who cares? Yeah,
that's what I think about.
It's double dipping. You're getting two fan bases that want your old throwback jerseys.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't have like a deal with Homage, the t-shirt company, but every now and then they're like, hey, do you want some shirts that we can try to push? That was how I got the Texans starter jacket, which people were so excited about. And I told them, you know what's probably going to fly off the shelves is the Oilers jacket. If we give that away, the phone lines will light the F up. And they're like, okay, but here's some Texan stuff. And I was like, oh, no, you guys aren't doing this right. Anyway, this division is very boring. Do we want to talk about the Saints?
Wait, so... We're.
I know it's the AFC South, but the Saints, we have a big Saints fan base. Should we expand our South Side segment
to also
include Saints talk so we can, again, filibuster and avoid talking about the Houston Astros?
Okay. So it also helps broaden our horizons from the right. Three other teams in the AFC South to now we're bringing in 4 new teams. So, okay.
Yeah.
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Alvin Kamara's back from suspension.
Nice.
They should have won that game in Green Bay. Man, that is a big-time collapse by the Saints. Because the Saints clearly have a pretty good defense, and the Saints clearly have some good offensive skill players. Once again, you got Derek Carr as your quarterback. I guess you're slightly better than you were with Andy Dalton.
They also should have won it because now they don't have Derek Carr, at least for a few weeks.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, he sprained his AC joint, I want to say.
So he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
Jameis time?
Yeah, Jameis time.
Let's go! That's exciting. Oh, while we're on the South Side, how about this story? This is the South Side of Houston. We're really stretching
wow.
it.
Okay.
We're really stretching it.
I mean, I guess that's what this song is about. So.
It's about the South Side. When they sing about the South Side, they're, of course, singing about University Place and Rice Village.
Yeah.
Because that's where Rice is located.
Yeah, no,
South Side. We're going to Rice Village. I'm going to Baker Street. The gingerbread man or Roma. But this is coming from the South Side, technically. Rice head coach Mike Bloomgren says the Rice Owls will wear special jerseys that, quote, pay homage to the NFL team in this town Saturday against ECU. So wait a second. So the Cougs earlier this year wear the awesome Oilers throwbacks. Are the Rice Owls about to wear Texans uniforms? What is going on here?
Is there another NFL team in the city of Houston? Nope. Are they going to wear battle red in honor of J.J. Watt? Famous.
Right, that doesn't make any sense, though, because this is going to be, I think this is Battle Red Sunday.
It is a Battle Red Sunday.
This doesn't make any sense. This legitimately doesn't make any sense. There's no red in the Rice Owls color sphere. They do have navy blue.
There's no Love Ya Blue in the U of H's, and they got to...
No, but they do actually have some stuff you could buy already that is light blue. Like, okay. They do have a little bit of it. Not a lot, but a little bit of it. I think it used to be an accent way back in the day. I don't know what Rice is going to do. That is hilarious to me. But that's per Rice head coach Mike Bloomgren. They're going to wear special jerseys that pay homage to the NFL team in this town.
I hope that they're just like straight up Houston Texans jerseys.
I would
they
buy
just
one.
Have an owl instead of a bull.
It feels like they are trolling by doing this, the University of Houston Cougars, who they beat this year. This almost feels like they're doing this as a way to say, like, yeah, this team is honoring a team that left you. We beat them and are honoring a team that's still here. That now might be socially acceptable to associate ourselves with. Because guess what? CJ Stroud, baby! That's why they're doing it too, probably.
Yeah, they saw the game on Sunday. They're like, print us up some Houston Texans. The two best football teams in the city of Houston are both going to be wearing alternate jerseys. One's going to be wearing battle red. The other one is going to be wearing what the first best team normally wears, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what Rice... I don't know what they have cooking.
I mean, because no way it's going to be Roughnecks.
No, he said NFL. He said NFL
team. And it's no way it's going to be the Gamblers, as some are suggesting. Right. We're not saying pro football team. NFL team. So there you go, guys. That's the South side as we continue to avoid talking about the Houston Astros. Not Santa tweeted in saying there's so much more to break down from the game. We listed it all. It sucks. They're done when it comes to winning the AL West. It's over. I don't know how they do it. If they do it, great. I'll be so happy. They're not doing it. Give it up. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you want to power rank the blame? Where does Rafael Montero rank among untrustworthy athletes when they're playing in Houston sports history? Because for me, I can't think of a player that pisses me off more than when he enters the game than Montero. But if you can give me someone better, 713-780-3776, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, though, let me tell you about my friends and mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You sign up, and guess what happens? On a deposit of $50 or more, you could receive up to $200 in cash instantly to your MyBookie account. And maybe right now you're looking for some sort of long play. Like, say, I don't know, what's CJ Stroud looking like for Rookie of the Year? You can do it at MyBookie.ag. And I got to say, you might be too late when it comes to gambling on CJ Stroud. You might be, because look, he's been awesome these first 3 weeks. He's plus 380 at mybookie.ag, though. That's better odds than you'll get at a lot of places. That still puts him behind Bijan Robinson and ahead of Anthony Richardson at plus 470 and Puka Nacua at plus 780. Devin Achane also entered the equation at plus 980 with that awesome performance he had. You can do it all. Mybookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975. To bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with my bookie.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
Well, I feel like I'm your daddy.
You're not my daddy.
No,
daddy.
Hush, now I'm your daddy.
You ain't my daddy, boy.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not our daddy.
I am your daddy.
Not a daddy.
To the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Help behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Rafael Montero coming into that game last night was the biggest white flag. I should have just gone to bed then, truly. But I stayed awake because I believed that the Houston Astros would stop crapping their pants with runners in scoring position. How many bases loaded opportunities did they have last night? They had one right away in the first inning on George Kirby with one out. They had another in the seventh with no outs. They lose 6-1. You can't do anything in either of those two innings. Come on, guys. And you got three errors yesterday. Altuve, Bregman, and Kyle Tucker. The three guys who want extensions. That's great. Especially when juxtapositioned with, you know, Christian Javier getting an extension. Once again, underwhelming last night. Jose Abreu getting a three-year contract. Had another bases loaded opportunity last night. Did nothing with it. Michael Brantley, you gave him an extension. Oh, wait. You got to pinch hit John Singleton instead. And then, of course, you got Rafael Montero. And I, for the life of me, cannot understand why that guy got that contract. I can't believe how many people who think they know baseball, and probably don't, were baseball splinting to me that Montero has actually been pitching better of late. The guy is not a good pitcher. He is a major league caliber pitcher, sure. But a pitcher worthy of an extension? No. Anyone who watched him in Seattle knows this. Anyone who saw him enter that game in Seattle knew the game was over as soon as he came in. That was it. Naturally, when I ask who is less trustworthy than one Rafael Montero from the 214, imagine Ken Giles running in to close the game. Instant L. Another text. This one also, guess what? Has to do with Ken Giles. On the Twitch, the Urge Bel Air, Ken Giles at one point. Yeah. Yep. There you go. We have another text. Paul, why are you mad, bro? Why are you being the hypocrite? All season long, you've been trashing every team in the league and pumping the Astros as the absolute best. But when it all goes downhill, you want to hide. You Astros fans are weak. Eric in Jersey Village, I believe, is a Yankees fan. There's no hiding here. We have a high standard. The standard isn't being reached. I don't understand how I'm being a hypocrite here. You get to dump on every single team until you are dethroned. That's probably what the Roman Empire did, right? They were dumping on all of those barbaric tribes that were outside the empire. And then all of a sudden, migrations happened because of the Huns moving from the east to the west. And they realized, oh, damn, we don't really have a handle on this thing the way that we thought we did. And the next thing you know, the Vandals are sacking Rome. Boom. That's it. It's over. I suppose I just made true that very tired meme that people are dissecting online, like, men will do anything except for go to therapy. Men are always thinking about the Roman Empire. Let's be honest, Sean, with the audience here. How often do we think about the Roman Empire?
Before this meme became a thing, like, zero times a month. Like,
same, Sean. I follow a ton of history accounts on Instagram. I am a history lover. I never think about Roman history. I truly don't. Now, maybe we should, seeing as we live in the United States of America and there are some, I don't know, similarities between Rome's rise and fall and maybe where our country is these days. Something to keep in mind of.
On the rise, right?
History often repeats itself. How about I just leave it at that? So it's one of those things where I could think about it on a regular basis, but I'm far more likely to think about World War II. Every single day.
Yeah, I was going to say, yours is World War II.
100%.
I don't have like a history like thing that I think about every day.
You don't have a history thing?
No.
You don't think about Texas history? You don't think about like the 2005, Bowie? 2006 Texas Longhorns?
I thought you meant like the Alamo.
No.
Don't think about San Jacinto very often. No.
More important Texas history, UT history.
Maybe not history every day, but I probably think about the team, I don't know, 6 days a week.
I got something for you. So again, we're trying to avoid talking about the Astros today. On the other side.
We're doing a great job.
On the other side. I know. I've done a great job today because no one wants to talk about them. Like, what do you want me to do? Yell the whole show? Like, they suck right now. What do you want from me?
It's also that like the...
I've said everything I need to say. I truly have. I've said all year long, they're better than this. They are. They're still better than this. They're just playing like crap.
Yeah, that to me is like the not worst part, but that's the hardest part to talk about, is that it's like, I don't know, guys, just play back. Hey, less errors and more hits with runners in scoring position. There we go. That's my fix. Stop giving up runs. Start scoring runs when you have the opportunity. Like, it's not even, I don't know, it's not that interesting. And you can't go full, like, you know, look back at the season because the season's not over yet.
Right.
You can't, like, fully bury them because they're still alive.
From the 702 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, it's funny how y'all media folk always say an athlete is overpaid. Rafael Montero is overpaid, sir. That is very easy to say. Again, credit to him getting that contract. Not his fault they paid him that. That is the fault of the Astros. But he is overpaid. Good for him. Good for his family. That's life-changing money. I would never wish one of these athletes to lose all of that money. This is on the team. It's always the fault of the team when a bad contract is given out.
Yeah, basically when it's a bad contract, when people say it's a bad contract, most of the time they're talking about it from the team point of view. But you can literally just flip it around. A bad contract for the player is a good contract for the team. A good contract for the player is a bad contract for the team.
Yes, 100%. A texter, Eric in Jersey Village, by the way, clarifies, I'm from Chicago. Man, that's low-hanging
Cubs fruit. Or White Sox, Eric? Cubs or White Sox? No right answer there, but...
Who
Cubs,
is the worst team in Chicago right now?
The White Sox, by far.
No, it's the Bears.
Oh, I was thinking
I mean,
baseball.
In totality.
I was thinking baseball. Oh, yeah.
Do they have a good team? The Blackhawks suck now, too, right? Did they just have the number one overall pick and draft like a child?
Oh, my God. Wait,
That might be the worst sports town in America. Thank you, Eric. Now we can project. We can distract from the Astros.
Are the Bulls the best Chicago team?
Yes, they are.
Oh, my God.
What a great December they had.
Ugh.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Actually, we need
Illinois
that.
Football?
Eric, 100%. Like, being totally honest. Yeah, we're projecting and lashing out irrationally.
Yeah, we are lashing out.
We're honest at least about it. I don't know if it's hypocritical, but... It doesn't look great.
We say we're hypocrites, does that make us hypocritical?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So coming up next, okay, we're talking about things that we could talk about instead of the Houston Astros. How about another team in Texas sports history instead of the Astros? Because it's been a rough week for them. Possibly rougher than that of the Houston Astros. We'll discuss next before we wrap up the show.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're mourning the Astros blowing their chance at winning the AL West with last night's loss, because the Rangers also lost to the Los Angeles Angels, who are literally playing scrubs. None of their star players are playing anymore. And we're trying to distract from that loss. So I think now is a really good time for us to do another segment, a segment that we do a lot because we are little whores and or sluts. Take your pick. I don't write the story. I don't assume people's stories. You can't assume my story, but we're one of the two, and we do it for ratings. Talking Dallas Cowboys football.
I want me some glory hope.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
We do have a couple of Dallas Cowboys stories to discuss today. This one went under the radar coming out of the Cowboys' very disappointing loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Did you guys hear what Dak Prescott had to say? I think this is a very good question that he was asked to wrap up his press conference with Dallas media on the road in Glendale.
Y'all put us on top of the world. We know who we are. And in that same sense, I'm sure the media got what they wanted. For us, it hadn't been but one undefeated team in this league ever. ever. So, it sucks. It's humbling. But to say it's a wake-up call, we knew we had a lot of adversity, and we just didn't get it done. And I think it just goes back to myself, the offense, and the red zone. So, I mean, we get better at there, we win this game. But we've got to fix that area, period.
Prescott said, just a little recap of that clip, you, the media, put us on top of the world. The question that was asked was, oh, you guys were on top of the world, now all of a sudden you lose this game. He also said along the way in that answer that this serves you, the media. He also said along the way that no team's gone undefeated in an NFL season. Well, technically incorrect. Two teams have. What? 72 Dolphins,
yeah.
2007 Patriots. They went undefeated in the regular season. They did.
This is sad.
Oh, shut up. They went undefeated in the regular season and lost the Super Bowl.
People act like that's bad. Now you're hanging a banner for losing to Eli Manning.
Noted Cowboy fan Sean Mapes is lashing out irrationally when I'm pointing out that Dak Prescott, one, has no idea what has happened in the history of the NFL. And two, you guys put yourselves on top of the world. Micah Parsons said this is the best defense ever. Anyway, the Cowboys play the Patriots this week, so this is a grudge match between me and Sean. Bill O'Brien was the head coach of the Houston Texans, is the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. The Patriots signed Will Greer from the Cowboys practice squad to their team, and with Ezekiel Elliott already on the roster, a reporter decided to ask Patriots offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien this question at his press conference yesterday.
Hey, Bill. Brian Schottenheimer said earlier today that with Will Greer on the roster and Zeke, that he's sure that you guys were interrogating Will to try and suss out any details on the offense. Can you confirm or deny that?
I mean, like, interrogating. You know, Shotty's a good guy. I've known Shotty for a long time. I think that's the way it is. You know, every week in this league, every year in this league, you know, there's going to be guys that come into your organization off of teams that you're about to play, and it goes both ways. You know, it's always going to happen. So, I don't think that really, at the end of the day, you got to study the film. Everybody's got to be on the same page with what we're doing. You know, I've never thought in my years in the league that any of that was a real overriding factor in a win or a loss.
I like how O'Brien chuckles and then immediately moves into coach speak. Brian Schottenheimer's a good guy. If he had his druthers, yes, he would interrogate him.
Yes, he'd be pouring water over Zeke Elliott's head.
He'd at the very least be shrieking at him, going full teapot. Imagine Bill O'Brien, he puts on a Batman mask and he gets in Will Greer's face. Where's the Cowboys tell on third down? How do you determine what Dak Prescott's going to do?
You know, Bill O'Brien would be a great, like, dirty cop in a movie. He would be a great, he would play such a
pulls
great...
Pulls out a pistol, just whips Will Greer's teeth out.
A great scumbag cop. I mean, like, oh, you're being too nice, so let me rough him up a little bit. And
you went too hard, Bill! Bill!
Who's your supplier? You suck too!
And then meanwhile, there's another scene where he's also in on the take.
Yes. It's been him the entire time.
All right, let's wrap it up with a little bit of garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage!
It's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
We are at peak saturation with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, a story that showed up in our Total Sports Prep email today. Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend has a stern warning for Taylor Swift. His ex-girlfriend, Maya Benberry, does not approve of his new romance with Taylor Swift, and she's warning the singer to stay away. Benberry, after they broke up, accused Kelce of cheating on her. They dated after she won his E! Dating reality series, Catching Kelce.
I didn't know that. I didn't know she won.
Like, she won the show.
She won the show, and they actually dated.
You think this was going to last? Anyone who's on these reality TV shows, right now, my Instagram story, reels, or whatever, they're being bombarded by the two people I know that are on Love is Blind, and I can't be more annoyed with just the desperate trying to be an influencer that they're doing right now. But said Benberry to Swift, once a cheater, always a cheater, in an interview with the Daily Mail. Taylor seems like such a fun girl with a beautiful spirit, so I wish her the best of luck. But I wouldn't be a girl's girl if I didn't advise her to be smart. I'm sure by now she has mastered the ability to see who is really there for her and who is just using her. You want a reality TV show to date Travis Kelce. What are you talking about, lady? Why am I defending Travis Kelce this much?
I thought that this would be a big mistake for Travis Kelce in the making his life easier pile.
Yes.
He just signed up to make his life miserable for however long he dates Taylor Swift and probably a few months after that with the Swifties and just all the added scrutiny to this. But what he did gain was apparently Paul Gallant.
I like Travis Kelce.
Defending him.
I like Travis Kelce. I'm a fan. By the way, again, peak saturation. I'm about to read the worst line I've ever seen because this is a follow-up story to something we discussed yesterday. Lou Holtz, he responded to Ryan Day. And this is actually going to go back to Taylor Swift amazingly.
Well,
I linked it too. And we'll wrap it up after that. Lou Holtz is doubling down. That's his choice. I can understand why he went on that rant. He doesn't want to talk about Michigan. 0-2 the last two seasons against them. He doesn't want to talk about the big game coming up against Penn State and against Michigan again. He's a great coach. He's done a tremendous job. He's a great offensive mind. Ohio State's a good football team. I don't think they're a great football team. He can go after me all he wants, but I remember when we were playing Miami and there was a big hullabaloo and sometimes you say things out of emotions. I thought Notre Dame was the better football team and more physical, and I'm sorry if Coach Day was offended by it. This article finishes saying this. As college football continues into its pro wrestling era, which is a famous term used by Taylor Swift to describe her albums and to describe like what stage of life she's in, Davers Holtz has emerged as the sport's unlikeliest blood feud. Everything is using Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce for ratings, including us. Peak saturation. We need it to stop. Hashtag Team Kelce. He was Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to our texters, twitchers. No thanks to our callers. You guys were not good today. Except for the guy who called in about the Dynamo. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Josh Beard of the Who is up next. Peace.